بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبما نقضهم ميثاقهم وكفرهم بآيات الله وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق وقولهم قلوبنا غلف، بل طبع الله عليها بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: آية المنافق ثلاث: إذا حدث كذب، وإذا وعد أخلف، وإذا خاصم فجر. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ of the Quran, brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم made هجرة from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyibah. In this journey of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that amongst the first things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did when he made this hijrah was to create a very safe haven and a healthy environment for Islam and the Muslims. And for this to be established, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Medina Tayyibah and realizes that there are three influential Jewish tribes: Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. These were three tribes of the Jews. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes hijrah, comes to Medina Tayyibah, and he signs a pact and an agreement with every one of them that we will not cross each other's paths. If you don't interfere with me, I'm not going to interfere with you. So leave us to do what we need to do, and we would leave you to do whatever you require to do. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the second year of Hijri was Badr al-Kubra. Badr al-Sughra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps there wouldn't be a moment you wouldn't have the kitab in your hand. So rich, so intriguing is every sentence in the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of lesson for us. So all we require is to go back into that most beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Sam comes and he signs this agreement with the three tribes of Medina Munawwara. Battle of Badr is fought in the second year of Hijri. Second year, Badr is fought. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum return victorious. But the Quraysh sent a message to the Jews of Medina Tayyibah that listen, if you're not going to deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll deal with you. So Banu Qurayza quite a bit, and the other tribes were a little bit worried and concerned that if the Quraysh have to march on to us, remember, Quraysh, we would say in our local colloquial English, that they just got a hiding. They were defeated, yet they are opening up their mouths to say, we're coming. But hold on, you lost blood, you lost lives, and what you mean you're coming for us? There was a Muslim lady who was doing some business and trade amongst the Banu Qurayza. They interfered with the integrity of this girl and this lady. What they did was they tied her cloth. When she woke up from her seat, she didn't realize that her cloth had left her body. So they laughed. It was a big laugh for all of them. There was a Muslim man who witnessed what had transpired. That became a squabble between them. And they drew the blood of one Muslim. Only one Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, prepare the army to avenge the blood of one person. What are we going to see on the day of Qiyamah? When the blood of 60,000 people and counting is being drawn, and we are still sitting, no need for us to perhaps wake up and go. Maybe we cannot march, but at least wake up and stand in the row of the saf in the masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother unto a next Muslim brother. Now we don't even know who's our brothers. Your defense system works for Iranian missiles, don't work for the Israeli ones. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. But Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. We're supposed to be brothers to each other. La yadhlimuhu wa la yakhdhuruhu. One is actively, you will never oppress him. And two is passively, you will never abandon him in a time of distress and emergency. You'll never ever abandon him and leave him. That you fend for yourself, that's not becoming peak of an Islamic society. So Nabi Sam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the first thing is they march to Banu Qurayza. They go into their forts. It was a long, approximately 2 week encounter. They fortify themselves. Eventually, they accept, we will walk out of Madinah Tayyibah. Now we are ready to drop everything we own, but just give us a safe passage. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no problem. You take nothing from Madinah Tayyibah and you can leave. So Banu Qurayza were banished. They left. A year later, Banu Nadir. Now again, they called Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite all the treachery of the Jews, deep down it was a burning desire that even they must be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Even that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worried about. We know the famous incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returning from Taif and making dua for the hidayat of the people who stoned him. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worried about these Jews. So they told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you can come to us with 30 people, we will come with 30. We meet at a common middle ground and we will speak, debate. If our rabbis, our scholars are interested, they're happy about your argument, the truth of the deen of Islam, perhaps we may just embrace the deen of Islam. Nabi Sam was happy about this. The Jews are ready to table the discussion of Islam. I'm ready. So Nabi Sam gets 30 of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ready, some of the very skilled Sahaba, some of the very muscular, a group of 30 is ready. The Jews send a message, wait, hold on. If we're going to come with 30 scholars, perhaps we'll have such a difference of opinion, we may not be able to follow you. Leave 30, it's a big number. Come with 3. So Nabi Sam said, no problem. I come with 3, you come with 3, we meet at middle grounds and perhaps we can speak about the deen of Islam. But what was the real idea behind this plan? What was the objective of this? That if Nabi Sam comes with 30, what if he's hidden in the back of the 30, we cannot assassinate him. But if he comes with 3, then maybe we can assassinate him. It's easier if you come with 3 and you assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of the ladies of Banu Nadir, she's a Jewish lady, she sends a message to her Muslim brother. Please do not join this group. The intention is to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sam immediately marches with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to Banu Nadir and he says, listen, there is nothing up for negotiation. You have violated the terms of the treaty and you have to pack up and leave. So what is the arrangement? Whatever you can load, the land is ours. Inna al-ardha lillah. The land is ours. Whatever you can load onto your conveyances, you take it with you. What did the Jews of Banu Nadir do? They would even take out the wooden panels from the door frames, load it onto their camels to go. That this must not even be left for the Muslims to derive benefit from. Nabi Sam says, no problem.
as long as you leave this area. So they left. Banu Qaynuqa was the first, Banu Nadir were the second, and the last were Banu Qurayza in the battle of the trench. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a very cold month and season, winter, absolutely cold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was digging the trench on the advice of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. And the Quraysh and some of the influentials of the Jews were also party. They went very secretively to Banu Qurayza to say, you launch an attack from within, we will face the Sahaba and the Muslims from the outside. And they tried, they failed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had even launched an attack against Banu Qurayza after everything had settled, and they left also Madina Tayyiba. But the lesson is that a people who did not even spare the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were ready to take the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you dreaming if you want them to subject themselves to international law. They were not even ashamed of drawing the blood of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew he was the final Nabi. Anfusihim, it was hasad that they could not bring iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we see playing out in the international law, I'm not saying that we should not call for the implementation of international law. I'm not saying we don't ask, advocate, that be in its place. But there's not my people who wanted to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are me and you? Our blood is nothing to them. I mean, very recent, was it yesterday or the day before, stand for correction, E1 plan settlement signed off. And do we know what is happening around the world? Am I abreast to the information? That means that the West Bank, which was the only collected place attached to Jerusalem, hope of a two-state solution, which obviously we would say Palestine is ours, there is no two states, we're not up for negotiation, but be as it may, now they are so audacious. We will dissect Jerusalem from West Bank and separate West Bank into two. As it is, in your own locality to travel from the West Bank to Jerusalem, ask the people. If you mean, sometimes any person who's been to Masjid al-Aqsa, you want to go to Hebron, you want to go to Bethlehem, and so quickly you show your passport. Okay, now it's a little bit of an issue, but you shouldn't be intimidated. It's so easy, foreigners, they come in, they look at your passport, and within 5 to 10 minutes, and you pass the checkpoint. And you would see pregnant ladies trying to go to a hospital. You'll see old men with a walking stick waiting on the side on a hot summer's day, perhaps 1 and 2 hours to cross the checkpoint, and another 1 and 2 hours to come back. It is his land. So, this is what's happening at the moment. And besides what has happened, the attack, imagine a group of people, you've given them a treaty, a memorandum, you've given them some clauses, some treaty. Study this, perhaps we're up for negotiation. You're studying something that they've given you, they come to attack you in the area where you are. But alhamdulillah, the intelligence of the senior leaders, they left the phones away from the room of meeting. That is why they were spared. Although there is some are claiming that they went for salah and they left their phones. But be as it may, the intelligence of the seniors to leave their phones. But imagine in a foreign land, which means any person who is a voice, who will be talking against Israel, we're coming for you. They want to silence you in whichever way they can. However they can, they want to silence. And maybe just a little bit for us to understand. We perhaps know about it, and perhaps we haven't read or heard the whole thing. This is the wasiyah of an ordinary citizen of Gaza. He's no big sheikh and hazrat. He's not a sheikh and a hazrat. He's an ordinary citizen who was in the front lines of the war as a journalist. His name is Anas Jamal Sharif. How old when he was assassinated or killed and made shaheed? 28 years old. Left and survived by two children, wife and a mother. So this wasiyat of his will, written on the 6th of the 4th of, April 2025, he pens these words down. It's in Arabic, also translated in English. He pens these words down. And it was perhaps a few months ago that they had promised him and they said, listen, Anas, stop covering the war from the front line. Stop this. We will give you security. We will give you assets in Qatar. He says, لَن نَخْرُجْ مِنْ غَزَّةِ إِلَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. We will never leave Gaza unless you send me to Jannah. I'm not leaving this place. This is mine. It's ours. And then towards the end, last 4 to 5 days, was the real threat on Anas. And they said, Anas, listen, back off. Stop the coverage. They tried to starve him to death. He was shaking because of starvation. Whenever there was something to cover, he's shaking, he's trembling. At times he would sit. He wouldn't even eat. But he says, at least I can cover the news for the Muslims in the Ummah so they can make dua for the Muslims of Gaza. Are we really taking it to heart? Have we appreciated his efforts? But this is not ordinary. To write such words just before your demise, this had to be someone who had a goal and a mission and who was loved by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he starts by saying, هذه وصيتي ورسالتي الأخيرة. This is my last words I pen down. And he says, إن وصلتكم كلمات هذه فاعلموا أن إسرائيل قد نجحت في قتلي وإسكات صوتي. If you're listening to my words, wasiyat, no one has read it. You don't know what's written in the will that your father has left. No one knows. He says, if you're listening to my words, know very well the Israelis have been successful in silencing my voice. They have been successful. Meaning, now I have passed away. But he says, بِدَايَةً أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّنِي بَذَلْتُ كُلَّ مَا أَمْلِكُ مِنْ جُهْدٍ وَقُوَّةٍ لِأَكُونَ سَنَدًا وَسَوْتًا لِأَبْنَاءِ شَعْبِي. He says, know very well, I have spent, I have used whatever resources I have available to me. Whatever was possible, I used it to cover so I could gain the du'as, the help, the assistance of the global Muslim Ummah. So I tried. The lesson, whatever we have as a resource, whatever you have, utilize it for the upliftment of the deen. It can start in a simple masjid like this. If I am a plumber, brothers, if ever there's an issue, please let me know. This is on me. I come and perform salah here for free. Why shouldn't I repair the masjid for free? Everything you're having, a light problem. I'm an electrician. I am this. I am whatever resource we can give for the deen of Allah. It starts in a local masjid, but we've heard of doctors even being in Gaza. If a person is a businessman, alhamdulillah, be a very thriving businessman, utilize your extra funds for the upliftment of the deen of Islam, for the Muslims that are in trouble around the world. He says, where did I grow up? Fi aziqati wa harati mukhayyam Jabalia. I grew up in a refugee camp in Jabalia. That's where I grew up. My hope and my desire is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me life hatta a'uda ma'a ahli wa ahibbati ila baldatina al-asliya Asqalan. He says, I'm not from here. My hometown is Asqalan, an occupied territory. That's my house. We have been driven out and now I'm in Jabalia in a refugee camp. Then he says, عِشْتُ الْأَلَمَ بِكُلِّ تَفَاصِيلِهِ. I've tasted pain to its detail. If you want to know anything about pain, ask me. I've been through it. وَذُقْتُ الْوَجْعَ وَالْفَقْدَ مِرَارًا. I've tasted difficulty, loss and deprivation on multiple times. But then this is really food for thought for every one of us. He says, "Asa ayyakun Allahu shahidan ala man sakatu wa man qabilu biqatlina wa man hasaru anfasana wa lam tuharrik ashla'u atfalina wa nisa'ina fi qulubihim sakinan wa lam yuwaqqifu al-madhbahata allati yata'arradu laha sha'buna mundhu akthar min 'amin wa nisf." He says, Allah is witness to that person who's silent in the face of this genocide. Allah is witness to every Muslim who sees the body parts of our women and children smeared on the walls of Gaza, and it doesn't drive you to the musalla to cry for us. Allah is a witness, he says. If the blood is not enough, the body parts are around the places of Gaza. Usaykum bi Filastin. He says this was the place of the Isra and the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I advise you, please don't ever forget the people of Palestine and Palestine. Usaykum bi ahliha wa bi atfaliha al-mazlumina sighar. And our young children of Gaza, alladhina lam yumhilhum al-umr liyahlumu wa ya'ishu fi amanin wa salam. The only dream was to live a peaceful life. Their dream was to go to school. Their dream was to go visit their relatives. Their dream was to just have a proper family structure. That is all the dream that they had. He says, "Usikum." He says, "I advise you," and many aspects of advice does he give. And towards the end, we'll just take some snippets of it. "Usikum bi ahli khayran." He says, "Brothers, if you're reading my wasiyat, please, I want you to seek good counsel for my family that I leave behind. My small little daughter, her name is Sham. Allati lam tus'ifni al-ayamu li'araha takbur. The days did not give me the respite to see her grow up, approximately 1.5 years. And he says, Usikum bi ibni al-ghali salah. And my small little son, 4 years old, masoom little boy, I wished one day I could have nurtured him to say, this is what Papa did. I also want you to do this. This is what our dream was. At least I can take him to Masjid al-Aqsa. Usikum biwalidati al-habiba. And I give you advice, please look after my mother. Allati bi barakati du'a'iha wasaltu lima wasaltu ilay. It was her du'as I covered and I did what I managed to do. She was actually the fortress of my life, the light of my road. وَنُورُهَا طَرِيقِي. This I leave behind my mother. I ask Allah that He gives her the strength to deal with my demise. وَأُسِيكُمْ كَذَلِكْ بِرَفِيقَةِ الْعُمْرِ زَوْجَةِ الْحَبِيبَ أُمُّ الصَّلَاةِ. And I give you wasiyat. Please have good thoughts, help my wife that I leave behind. And he says, "Allati farraqatna al-harbu li-ayyamin wa shuhurin tawila." What separated me from my wife? Months at time I was away from her. I would not see her for months. It was only the war that I need to cover for the ummah so they can send their du'as for the people of Gaza. And then right towards the end he makes du'a. Allah forgive him. Allah accept him amongst the shuhada, etc. and other. And he says that I will tell Allah, لَمْ أُغَيِّرْ وَلَمْ أُبَدِّلْ. Whatever was my mission, oh my Allah, I worked for it. Whatever was my responsibility, I stood up to my responsibility and I did what I could do. And on the 10th of August, he becomes a martyr, he becomes a shaheed. And where? In Shifa Hospital. He's taking refuge in a hospital. They know all 5 journalists are together. And you very precisely send a bomb to kill a person who's not a terrorist. And then when questioned, how do you bomb terrorists? He says he was covering terrorism. He is a terrorist. Because you cover it. If I pick up my hand and I say, oh my Allah, help the Muslims of Gaza, I am a terrorist. Because I'm making dua for the success of my Muslim brothers who are being butchered and killed in Gaza. So they want to silence us. Let's not succumb to this pressure. We have to. We all heard, we received, we know. or with the dua that was circulating last night, that they asked us, please wake up in the dead of night. Please and ask Allah, read this dua 100 times. Forget about the whole ummah. I ask myself, did I even take the trouble to break my sleep for one night to cry for those people? Yet, those sounds of the drones that are going above the heads of the children, they're traumatic. Every time they hear a drone, they shake in. They shake in. Like, Umi, it's gonna fall. Umi, it's okay. No, no, it's gone past. And then they hear another drone, and it's another drone. Can you imagine the trauma of these people? And if that trauma can't wake us up to say, cry for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cried for the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the dua and grant us the tawfiq to make the dua. It's known as dua ul karb. Dua ul karb means a person in distress. You think to yourself, you're sitting on the beachfront and you're having some lovely food. And you can see a child or a lady or a man that is drowning. Will you wave at him, I'll come just now and enjoy your food? Or will you drop your food and immediately do whatever we can to help? Even if it means with my phone, with my everything to help save a life, I'll do it. That's only a human instinct. Where's our human and ummati instinct to cry for the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. It's not tomorrow. It's not next month. It's not when I get pious. Insha'Allah, the difference will be today. And the difference starts in Masjidul Siddiq. Today, insha'Allah, we all make a pledge. I will not leave the masjid today, insha'Allah, until I don't read 2 rakats minimum for the people of Gaza. Ya Allah, their present must not become my future. What they going through must never ever come onto my plate. So let's make dua. We will not leave today, insha'Allah. If I normally rush, today I will read 2 rakats and cry for them before I leave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.